If there's anything in the Bible as famous as John 3:16, it's got to be Luke 15. If anybody knows any stories in the Bible besides David and Goliath, they know this one. I told my wife, I have got more sermons on this one passage than any other passage in the Bible. And I'm going to add another one to my repertoire. This passage just lends itself to so many things. And it is so easy to update it to whatever century or generation you happen to be living in. Amen. So, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. And then he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, I love that part, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power to preach. And I pray, O God, that the Holy Spirit would help and enable. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I actually had an entire different message planned for this morning. And it just didn't work out that way. I was working on it this morning like I usually do. And I just kept getting drawn to this. So I said, I'm just going to preach this. So I hope it's for somebody here. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Now, the title of the message this morning, if you write the titles down, don't ever write down the verses because anybody can find them. We remember sermons by titles. It's called The Never-Ending Story. See, why is that? Because this story goes on generation after generation after generation after generation. Every generation has to learn it all over again. He says, well, you know, they've been preaching that ever since Bible times, and every preacher preaches on it. Yeah, and every year or so, he's got to preach on it again because you get new folks in and young people come along and they need to hear the story again and again and again. Because it seems like every generation goes through the same turmoil, the same upset. Every generation's got its young people that thinks things are terrible at home and life would be better if they went someplace else. And so we're going to preach about that for a little while this morning. Of course, this is a parallel message. There's a perfectly good illustration for everyday life, for every generation in which we live has to face this. When young people start to come of age, or at least think they are, they get headstrong and do foolish things sometimes. And, of course, God's people do exactly the same thing. Saved people run away from home and walk out on the Father and get themselves in a mess. And hopefully, at some point, they come back. So, if you're here this morning and you're young and you've never known the Lord, you're not saved, I pray that the Lord will speak to you and you'll come home. If you're here this morning and you're saved, but your Christianity has gotten cold and it's not what it used to be, you find yourself away from God and find yourself in things you ought not to be involved in, I pray God will speak to your heart this morning. Now, we're just going to go through it verse by verse and take a look at it and see if we can find something practical. Now, that's all I know how to do is practical preaching. I'm not a great theologian and all that stuff. I like to deal with people, and I like to deal with them right where we live. Amen? And so that's what the message is. Now, in verse 12, it said, the younger son. A man's got two boys, the younger and the elder. And in this particular case, it's the younger that's given the problem. Now, don't worry. The elder give their fair share of trouble, too. Amen? If you've got two or three young'uns, younger one tends to get spoiled because they're the baby. And when mama finds out she can't have any more, that last little baby, they get way too much attention and they get spoiled and they don't get disciplined like the others did and they don't have as much required out of them as the others did. And so the younger tends to get spoiled and be a little more bratty, a little more self-willed than all the rest of your kids. Then, of course, the middle child, bless their hearts, they get ignored. The one in the middle, they just get left out altogether, and they all grow up with complexes. I think half the shrinks in the world were middle children. But then there's the elder, and they tend to grow up a little more angry. They tend to be a little more bitter. They seem to have more of a chip on their shoulder. The reason for that is the first one that comes along, mom and daddy are so strict on it and so demanding of it, and they make it do this and make it do that. And then the others come along, and we make the older one take care of the younger and be responsible for, and they resent it. So the older kids end up with a bit of a chip, and the younger kids end up a bit of a brat, and the middle kids don't know where they fit. So no matter where you're at in the spectrum, don't make any difference. You've got your problem to deal with. Amen. And so in verse 12, we have the start of a major league fiasco here, because the younger son is not content at home. In verse 13, he hits the road. The reason he hits the road, he's got good sound reason for it. And if you'd have been in his place, you'd have probably done just exactly what he did. I mean, life was absolutely unbearable at home. There were just so many things his parents weren't aware of. They were just so unreasonable about so many things that nobody in his right mind could have stayed in that house any longer. Amen. Sound familiar? Every young person you ever talk to, they're always whining about, well, mom and daddy won't let me do this, and mom and daddy won't let me do that, and I can't have one of them, and I can't go there, and they don't like my friends. Good for mom and dad. Glory to God, you got a mom and dad with a little brain in their head. What a blessing. Here's some little old whiny girl. She's in love for the first time. And she's just beside herself. And mom and daddy don't like my boyfriend. That's because he's a sleazebag, sweetheart. Mom and daddy got enough sense to see this boy ain't no good. Amen. You ought to thank God you got a mom and daddy got more sense than you got. And the boys, daddy won't let me do this. Daddy won't let. Oh, my friends have got a car. You too irresponsible to have a car. Ain't nobody 17 deserves a car. Amen. Well, but Johnny down the street, his daddy bought him one when he turned 16 and got his driver's license. Well, Johnny's daddy's a moron. You want a car? Get a job. Amen. Well, they won't let me play all these wild video games. Good. Them things corrupt your mind. There's just all kind of stuff you ought not to be doing when you're 14, 15 years old. I heard a young person not long ago describe his life as hell. Goes to a private Christian school, plays two or three different sports, eats out four or five times a week, wears new clothes all the time, rides around in a brand new automobile that mom and daddy bought, and got a nice house to live in. And he said, "Oh, I got to get out of this hell hole." I thought, I ought to slap you. You know, just for saying it, I ought to slap you. Just on general principles, I ought to slap you. Matter of fact, your daddy should have slapped you, and your mama should have come along behind daddy, and she should have slapped you. Youngins these days are spoiled, rotten, got everything under the sun, and then because mom and daddy won't let them run around with a bunch of hoodlums or run around in cars late at night drinking and smoking and all that. Life's terrible. Thank God you got some mom and daddy got a little sense. And so this boy hits the road because life is just unbearable. He can't do anything to have any fun. His friends get to do this and they get to go there. And man, there's just a lot of places you don't know need to go, and there's a lot of things you don't need to do. Amen? You know, I didn't spend, I don't know about you, but I didn't spend 15, 16 years trying to raise my girls and keep them clean and pure and decent to turn them loose and let them ride around in a car with some irresponsible 17, 18-year-old boy and get themselves all messed up and ruin their conscience and defile their body. I didn't do that. I raised them girls to live right. Amen. And if that means protecting them from you or your son, no problem. Somebody say amen. Then, verse 13. He hit the road and he had him a pocket full of money. It says, and by the way, nobody ever mentions this, but it says that his daddy divided his living to them. To them. He didn't just give the inheritance to the younger son. He gave the older boy his inheritance too. Now, we're not going to preach on that this morning, but I got two or three messages on the elder brother, and that boy had a real problem. See? Because he's talking about he couldn't do this, that, and the other. Well, I don't know why not. Daddy gave him the same thing he gave the younger one. Matter of fact, if you look in the Old Testament, the elder son gets a double portion. He had twice as much as Junior did. Anyway, he gets his money, boy, and it's burning a hole in his pocket. He just cannot wait to spend it. And so he hits the road, and he gets down there in the far country. That means he left the York and went to Charlotte. Bright lights, big city, boy. Honky-tonks and wow-wow women. The good life. Besides that, he's out on his own now. He can do what he wants to when he wants to. Ain't nobody tell him what to do. He make his own decisions. Go when he wants to. Come when he wants to. Spend his money the way he wants to. And mom and daddy can just lump it, buddy. He's a man now. He's out on his own. He don't answer to nobody. He said he wasted his substance. Well, now what do young people waste their time and energy on? Cars, concerts, cuties, and cannabis. Cannabis, that's pot. Cannabis is the ingredient in pot, you know, THC. That's what they do. They get out there and they're on their own. They got a little bit of money. I'm going to get my own apartment. I'm going to get my own place. And I'm going to run my own life. Go right ahead. Spend every nickel you got. You had a place with free room and board, clean sheets, clean clothes, somebody to get you up, and you just had, oh, you wanted to be free. Idiot. You never had it better a day in your life than you had it when you was at home. Amen. But now they're out there on their own, boy, and pretty soon they broke. Do you know why all these 25-year-old people are coming back living off of mama and papa and grandma and grandpa these days? Because they can't support themselves. They're too lazy to work. So they got to live off of somebody else. Now, if mine gets an automobile accident, gets crippled up, or comes down with some terrible disease, I'm going to help them out. But if you think I'm going to help mine because they're too lazy to work, and they're going to run up a bunch of bills and take my money I worked 66 years to get, you out of here with a loving mind, son. They own their own. Amen. So you don't mean that. Oh, yeah, I do. Wasted his substance. Well, he got out there, boy, and living the party life. Listen, when you got money, you got friends. Amen? When you got money, you got friends. If you broke, you a joke. When the money's gone, so are the friends. All them sweet little old girls that just thought you was the greatest thing in the world. All them little baby dolls you had hanging around get broke. If you can't buy them a hamburger and a order of fries down at Mickey D's, they don't need you, son. Amen. You thought they was in love with you. They was in love with what you could buy. Amen. Real love's interested in different things. Pretend love is always interested in what you can give them. Amen. Their kind of love is they're in it for what they can get out of it. Truth is, their love is for sale. Real love is not. And so they get out there and they wait. You know, young folks just can't wait to get out there. Boy, it don't take them long to find out life's tough. Man, they get out there and, well, I bought a car. That's the first thing you got to spend your money on, you know. You're working 40 hours a week, making $8, $9 an hour, and the first thing you got to do is buy a car. Say, why do you need a car? I need a car so I can get to work. Well, why do you need a job? So I can buy a car. Ain't much going on up there, is there? That's the way young'uns reason, though. But they didn't know you had to buy tags for it and put insurance on it. And guess who's been paying for all that $2.59 a gallon gasoline all them years? Amen? And when the tires wear out, who has to pay for them?
Well, I didn't think about all that.
Yeah, there's a lot you didn't think about. Amen? Amen. I tell you, it wasn't so bad at the Father's house. Now, you're sitting down there in your apartment, sitting on the floor or laying on the mattress that's on the floor, watching a little TV set about 20 years old, about this big, because that's all you could afford at the hot shop. You ain't got no curtains on the walls. Got a used microwave about that big, that if you give it about 10 or 12 minutes, it will pop popcorn. But you sitting down there with your friends living it up, ain't you? So what'd you have for dinner last night? Campbell's? Chicken noodle. Well, what'd you have for lunch? Campbell's? Tomato. What'd you have last night? Campbell's? Vegetable beef. Y'all ever have dessert? Oh, we have dessert every night. What'd you have? Popcorn? We ain't got no money to buy nothing. Living in an old shabby house with no furniture, no food, and no clothes. Oh, man, I tell you, that's a major big step forward for you there when you left home, wasn't it? Now, you know what happens when they leave home? Papa gave them all his living, divided it to them. The first thing they do is they go on a government-style spending spree. You know, what is a government-style spending spree? That means they're spending money that they ain't got. Amen. They got a credit card. Old man Smith gave me credit down at the gas station. Got a little tab down there. Yeah, and you got to pay it the first of the month too, buddy. And at $2.59 a gallon, and that old 396 Chevelle you got sucking it up like it was water. Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to be in good shape. You sit around and whine, well, I want to get one of these and I want one of them. But, yeah, but you can't get it, can you? You ain't making no living. You should have stayed home, finished school. You should have stayed home, went to college. You should have stayed home, went to Votech. You should have stayed home, but you had enough sense to get out on your own. But you got dissatisfied because everybody else is having fun. Life just passing me by. Well, I'm already 16 and I ain't never done this or that or the other thing. They go on one of them government style spending sprees. Before they know it, they find themselves in debt. You know what they're doing? They own a cell phone, calling mom and daddy, wanting to know, can you let me have $100 this week? No. But mama, I ain't got no groceries. Come by the house, I'll give you a meal, but I ain't giving you no money. Amen. Amen. Oh, they don't dial them anymore. You speak to them. Call home. Being a broke bum has moved up. You know what I'm saying? Not only that, verse 15, this boy gets his first real job. He is fixing to enter the real world. He's a big boy. She's a grown woman. She's 15 going on 30. Can't nobody tell him nothing. Going to get that first job, boy. Now get that first job, man. I'm going to get me a car. I'm going to get me an apartment. I'm going to get me a big TV. Me and my friends, we're going to live it up. Not on what you're going to make at Burger King. Amen. This boy goes there. He goes into the far country and he gets his first job. He's working at Joe's Pig Palace. Taking care of hogs. He may be the forerunner for dirty jobs. Cleaning up behind a bunch of hogs. Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you don't have any education, when you don't have a high school diploma, when you don't have any training, when you don't have any experience, you're not going to start at the top. I talked to a young man the other day that's no experience and no training. And he was applying for jobs. I said, what are you? He said, I'm not applying for anything but management. So help me, Harry, that. I said, on what basis are you going to apply for a management job? Well, I'm pretty smart. You ain't too smart or you wouldn't think you'd get a management job with no experience. You know, you either work your way up to management or you go to school and get trained for management. But you don't just start out of the wild blue yonder in management. Amen. Crazy. Young people these days are just like the young people in my day. Dumber than a red brick. It's a never-ending story. It just goes around and around and around. Working down at Joe's Pig Palace, feeding hogs and cleaning up hog troughs and carrying slop for hogs. When I was a boy, we didn't have any hogs because we were way too poor to own anything. But the folks we rented from had a couple of hogs. And we saved all our slop. Mama and Daddy had a big old 5-gallon bucket hanging up on the back porch. And Mama would take all the table scraps and put them in that bucket, and that bucket would get about 2/3 of the way full, and we'd take that thing down off that nail and carry it down to the hogs and give them, and man, they loved it. Now, it just didn't look good to me. And I'm going to tell you, after that thing been hanging there about a week, when you get to the bottom of that bucket, and that aroma starts coming up, it didn't smell none too good either. Now, you couldn't tell that to the pig. They loved it. I mean, they just like a pig in slop. My man, here he is now, working at Joe's Pig Palace for minimum wage. Got to pay for that old jalopy and have to work on it every day because it broke down. I remember, man, when we first got married, my daddy gave me a 1955 Plymouth station wagon, Savoy, six-cylinder straight drive. It was a chocolate brown. It's the ugliest automobile ever built. It was brown inside. It was brown outside. It had black wall tires. It was just butt ugly. But I took it because it was a car. Me and the wife was moving down to Georgia. I was stationed down at Glencoe Naval Air Station. We got about 100 miles out of town. I hit the brakes for something, and the car went that way. And I got out and looked, and the brake line had busted. And so didn't have no way to fix it. So what I did is I took a screw, and I put some tape stuff on it, and I'd run that screw up inside that hose. And I poured that thing back full, and it kept it from leaking out. And so then what I knew, when you had to stop, you hit the brakes and hold. I drove that thing like about 6 months. So why? Because I didn't have the $3.75 to get a brake line. That's why. But whoa, we was on our own. We was married. We was calling the shots. Life was good. Sleeping with the cockroaches. Verse 16, he said he would fain have eaten the husk that he gave to the pigs, but no man gave unto him. Man, he got out there and got himself in a mess, done spent all of his money, got a minimum wage job feeding pigs. All of his friends have deserted him. He's embarrassed and ashamed to call mom and daddy. He's out there with old dirty clothes, and he's by, you know, he's just destitute, nothing to eat, nothing to wear, no place to live. Old car's broke down. And the guy on the job is just he's just mean. You think that guy couldn't see how hungry he was? That guy's sitting there, he's got one of them McDonald's specials you see him going to work every morning, two bacon, egg, and cheese for $2. That old boy standing there propped up on the fence at the hog waller. Two bacon, egg, and cheese, and a big old hot cup of coffee, McDonald's special this morning. That boy's out there carrying slop and feeding the pigs. And man, he's looking over at them thing, he's ready to kill. And that guy, I ain't going this morning. Fine. Well, listen, don't forget them hogs over on the North 40. Just ready to kill that guy, man. Nobody offered him nothing. Well, there you go. No welfare. All them people are for the social safety net. Here's one that fell through the cracks. Here's one that fell through the net. Nobody offered to help him. You know something? A lot of times folks get down on their luck and run out. There just ain't nobody there to help. Amen. And you know why, especially young people, you know why you run away from home too early and you get out there and get married or shack up, whatever it is they do these days, and you got to pay rent and you got that old car and all the stuff that goes with it, and you got no money and you're fussing and fighting because you can't take this sweet thing out for a hamburger. And the romance. Yeah, the romance wore out when you got broke. Amen. Now you're just fussing and fighting. Yeah, amen, preacher. So how do you know all that, preacher? I've been there. You think all we live them 66 years. No handouts, no help, down the mouth, discouraged. Now you know something, all of a sudden life really is hell, ain't it? How's all that change and freedom working out for you? It ain't quite so good, is it? Then in verse 17, now here's the crux of this whole passage. In verse 17, this young man has an epiphany. He had a what? He had an epiphany! I love that word. That's as close as I can get to being Episcopalian. The church of the epiphany. It means the light came on. It means he came to his senses. It means one night he was sitting there in front of that little 9-inch black and white, eating his popcorn, hungry, cold, alone, broke, no friends, no family, no furniture, no future, no nothing. And the light went on. It's called an epiphany because it's startling. It's overpowering. So why is it overpowering and startling? Because he never had a thought before in his life. That's why. Before, he just always running here and there and never gave life any thought. It was always, I want this and I want that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Never stopped to think about anything. For the first time in his life, he starts to think. You know what happened when he thinks? He thinks, I need to go home. I think I blew it. I think I was hasty. Me thinks me been dumb. Now, his best thing has happened to him. It took a long time to get him there, and he had to go through a lot. People say, well, you know, sometimes you just have to hit the bottom before you'll look up. Well, maybe that's where he's at. For a little Jewish boy, feeding hogs is about as low down as you can get. Verse 18, he discusses the real problem. Now, if you look at verse 18, the first word there is I. I. Now he's getting somewhere. You see, you got to deal with realities. You got to deal with life like it is. And it wasn't the world that treated you wrong. It wasn't mama and daddy that treated you wrong. It wasn't God that treated you wrong. It's I. I'm in this mess because I made bad decisions. I'm in this mess because I chose bad friends. I'm in this mess because I spent money I didn't have. I'm in this mess because I couldn't listen to nobody. I'm in this mess because I wouldn't listen to God. It's I. You can't make any progress until you get down to I. As long as it's somebody else or something else, you're not going anywhere. It's got to get down to I. Now what did he say after I? I have sinned. Now that's an honest evaluation. It wasn't his shortcomings. It wasn't his failures. He said, I have sin. There's something clear and startling about that. No pretense. No fancy trim. No soft music. No bright lights. It's just bare and stark reality. I sin. The way you fix your life is you deal with the truth. Whether it's because you're a young'un and you got yourself all messed up, or because you're a Christian and you got backslid, it'll make a difference. You gotta be honest about it, and you gotta start with yourself, and you gotta find yourself where you're at, and you gotta admit that the reason you're there is because of you. You gotta quit blaming friends, you gotta quit blaming mom and daddy, you can't blame society, and you can't blame God. I sin. It's me, O Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Now, when you get down to where it's me, O Lord, you're in a good position to get something fixed. Whether it's a young person that's messed their life up, or whether it's a Christian that's messed their life up, when you get down to the point where you can say, it's me, O Lord. I blew it. I chose my friends. I disregarded mom and dad. I disregarded your commandment. It's me. I'm the problem. Verse 19. I'm no more worthy. See, that's a proper self-evaluation. Verse 22. Oh, man. Verse 22. but the Father. The Father, and this is typical of most moms and dads that I've known. Now, I've known moms and dads that had a lot of money. I've known moms and dads with education. I've known them without education. I've known them without money. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Most people, I know there's some bad parents, I know that. But most moms and dads, regardless of position or station in life, love them youngins. And they want the best for them. And they are, honestly, willing to give you chance after chance after chance. I don't know anybody, when the kids made one mistake, mom and daddy threw them out for once and for all forever. I didn't. Mine made a mistake time after time, and I keep on taking them back. Get popped upside the head every time I do it, but I'm not ready to quit yet. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been saved a long time, and I've messed up time after time after time, and every time I come back to God and get it right, God gives me another shot at it. Amen. Amen. He said, but the Father was kind, He was compassionate, He was forgiving. Now, notice, and this is important, that when the boy came home, he had to leave the pig pen and all that went with it, and his righteous living had to be left in the far country. Amen. That is, he had to get right and clean up before he could come home. That's important because people these days think that you can bring the pig pen with you and the wicked life and the righteous living and God will take you back. That doesn't work. When my children mess up, I am willing to forgive them and restore them and have them back in fellowship. And sometimes that's hard to do, by the way. But we do it anyhow. But they have to get rid of the thing that caused the problem. I was talking to a lady several years ago, and we were talking about a particular issue, and it had not been resolved. And she said, but now, Bob, aren't you supposed to forgive? I said, yes. And I am perfectly willing. As soon as they repent. But I'm not going to do it while they're still doing what caused the problem in the first place. Amen? Now, so, remember that part. You can't just forgive them because they want you to. They got to change. They got to clean up. That they come into the Father's house has certain rules. The Father's house has certain guidelines. And you got to go by them or you can't stay at the Father's house. Now, I have a note here. This is my best line. This boy went from rags to robes, rings, and Reeboks in one move. He came home in rags. His daddy gave him a new robe and a ring and Reeboks. Said, put sandals on his feet. Amen. That's not a bad deal. That boy swapped his dirty rags for the best robe. The best robe is the Father's robe. And a ring. And shoes on his feet. That boy came home barefooted in rags. And that boy needed to get himself cleaned up. Amen. I like it when you come back to God and you get right. God is more than generous with us, is He not? Gives you grace and strength and wisdom and leadership and instruction. God is good. In verse 23, there's a little phrase in there that says, be merry. He said, kill the fatty calf, strike up a band, and be merry. I have a little note here that says, oh, happy day that fixed my choice. You want to be happy? You want to be merry? Make Jesus your choice. I choose to serve Him. I don't have to. But it can, and it wants to. I left my father's house when I was 17. That's way too young. Way too young. And boy, I tell you what, it made the next 35, 40 years tough. Amen. I could have avoided a whole lot of heartache if I'd have been a little smarter. I got saved 1972. And while I certainly have never been right all the time, and God knows I disappointed Him and broke His heart, I've never left His house. I learned my lesson the first time. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that wherever you're at, if you're a young person and you're fixing to mess up your life, you don't have to, buddy. Stop and think about that thing and use your head a little bit. Listen to mom and dad. You know why mom and dad won't let you get in that car all by yourself with that boy? Because boys are dogs, that's why. And they'll take what they can get and throw you aside. You know why mama wants to know who your friends and daddy wants to know who your friends are and where you're going? Because they know a lot of them boys out there going to want you to smoke cigarettes and smoke dope and drink whiskey and do all kind of bad stuff, boys. That's why. They're trying to protect you and keep you from a life of sorrow and shame and broken heart and guilt and stuff you'll be regretting when you're 55 and 60 and saying, I would to God I'd never done so and so. If you were saved and you're cold on God, He still stands at the door with His hands outstretched. He still loves you. And He wants to be generous to you. He's gracious. He's kind. And He's forgiving. In verse 24, the Father said, this is my Son who was dead, but now He's alive. The Son had taken His substance and wasted it. And now the Father's taking what He has, the robe, the ring, the shoes, the fatted calf, and bestowing it all on the Son. You know what that tells me? That to the Father, the Son means more than all His treasure. Moms and dads, I know. If you're a good mom and dad, your youngins mean more to you than anything else you've got in this world. Nothing is more valuable than them youngins. And you know something? God the Father feels exactly the same way. Nothing is more important to God Nobody, no thing, more important to God than His youngins. Let's bow our head. Father, we pray now that You'd be with us, be with our mind. Help us to think. Help us to be honest. Maybe we've run from Thee. We've left the Father's house. Oh, we're in church, but our heart's departed. Our heart's not in it anymore. We just go through the motion. I pray, speak to us, draw us, meet our need. Maybe there's some young person, some young couple, having it tough. I pray You'd be real to them, give comfort to them, strengthen them, give them wisdom, help them to hang on, help them to draw close to Thee. That Bible said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. I pray, O God, meet the need in every heart and in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Same way. Nothing is more important to God than us. Nobody, nothing important to God, more important to God than His youngins. Father, we pray now that You'd be with us in mind, be with us to help us think, to be help us honest. Run from Thee, left the we have, Father. We're in church. Oh, we're in church. Hearts departed. Not in it. Our heart anymore. Just go. We just through the motion. I pray. to us, speak to us, draw us, meet our need. Maybe some young person or some young cousin, some couple. Tough, haven't it? I pray you'll too. You'll be ready to come to them, comfort to them, strengthen them, strengthen them, give them wisdom, help them hang on from the hand. All clap and draw to thee. Have drawn Bible said God and mine, with He will now draw unto thee. Oh God, I pray need and meet the heart, every heart, every life, and in it. I Jesus, in Jesus' name. Exactly the same way.